We
like
need
the
in the
thing of
market. Don't forget, because we're going to tell you. But you got to realize, from Von Braun all the way up through your little buddy, Otto von Habsburg, there's some stuff that happened. And that's what hasn't been uncovered yet. You've asked us, and we won't answer. And you can't know nothing. In this case, you can't. You're not going to know anything because we don't want you hurt. Those details are too close to what you know. Because it bumps back into that ridiculous bullshit you used to say on CKLN that proves CKLN words whole.
Right. So you're saying that if I know something non-physical, which communicates to everybody, will pick up that I know. Other people who don't want me to know, they're non-physical, will tell them. There's that level of communication that goes on, right?
And you don't want Jerry Fialco to die before he pays the money back that he owes you.
Okay, Maya, you said Maui would empty. Is this the process that's going to empty Maui, this coronavirus panic?
What's left of it? There's not much left.
You're
not on Maui, Bob. You're not on Maui. Right. You want to go to Maui? I'll take you to Maui. You won't last 5 minutes.
Okay, so where we are, there's not many people? On Maui, where we are?
Just what you see. Just what you see. There's not many people there now.
Okay, for the other Maui, that's diminishing even more so. But we'll never experience that Maui.
You hope,
correct?
Not.
Right. Well, that I'm reading some interesting, a good book on LaRouche by researchers, finding a lot of the skeletons in LaRouche's closet. Now, LaRouche did a lot of studying of Wiener and the MIT people of the late 40s, early 50s. And he used their language later to make himself be very different in the socialist Marxist world. But when McLuhan found out about the Wiener gang at MIT in 1950, he quickly realized that more was happening there than in literary poetry magazines, which was his ostensible profession, studying that stuff. He saw this technological thing happening. Two stages. Went to a few conferences with Ted Carpenter. They saw the weaponization of anthropology by the CIA. So I say that they moved to the communication study level, a new category, to bypass the CIA control of anthropology. Is that true, that point, in their early years?
It's valid. It's not true, but it's valid.
What's that mean? Their non-physical knew it, but they didn't.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Okay. Now, as these many books came out in the 50s, as this article documents, people trying to figure out how to use the computer to manage social engineering, we could say tetrad management, all kinds of what can we do with this new amazing tech?
Maybe if it was, see, that's the rub. They didn't know what they
had. Yeah, there was a lot of speculation. There was a lot of, what did you say? They didn't know what they had?
They didn't know what they had, right.
Right. So there was a lot of groping around trying to figure out what it was that this computer revolution, early computer revolution, meant. Was McLuhan, in his books, like Understanding Media, satirizing the computer, the new computer world that people were trying to figure out? And McLuhan took
well,
a two-bit.
Well, it was satirical, but it wasn't applicable. It was satirical, but satire only works when you can land it somewhere. So you couldn't really land it. That's the only problem with it.
Yeah, so people didn't know it was satire. They thought he was
right.
Ideologically inclined.
Right. That's like tell a joke and it's about somebody and then they get mad. Well, wait a minute, why are you mad? It was just a joke when it was about me. That's why it's a problem. There's the rub.
Okay, when he had his little dialectics, hot and cool, eye and ear, was he satirizing the binary world of the computer? He called it the two-bit wit of the computer. He satirized that by making this little category, you know, doing more with less. We got hot and cool, and then he would name, that's all hot and this is all cool. It was an easy formulaic way to talk about social events, which he didn't care about.
Way. It was a stupid way to give a referenced example that people would just accept and buy and not ask too many questions about because it doesn't really matter anyway.
Right, but if they did pursue it like I did, they'd find out there was a clever satire going on.
You would know that who Rumpelstiltskin was.
Right. And who would you say it was in these terms?
Oh, we have no idea. We wouldn't say. That's ridiculous. Because if you say in the McLuhan world, then you got to tell in the Croker world. You say in the Croker world, then you got to get the William Irwin Thompson world. And then you wake up with a sore bum with LaRue standing over your bed saying, I told you so. Yeah, no, we're not doing that.
Well, Bob's Rumpelstiltskin, but the thing is, Rumpelstiltskin.
Don't tell LaRouche. Don't tell LaRouche.
I know. So Rumpelstiltskin was okay if he didn't know his name. McLuhan figured out a way to talk to the post-verbal world of the global theater of computerized technologies and satellites that was coming upon.
The postmodern globalist perspective. A postmodern globalist perspective. That's the only way you can see. Because if you don't include that part, the hex advertisement never gets showed on the Victrola.
He saw the nonverbal reality, non-literate, non-oral, non-visual, global theater that was communicating to everybody.
Of a linguistic world. It was a linguistic world.
Well, that's what everybody was using.
Right, but the linguistic side, it didn't matter what the word was, it's what did they say. If you can't read, the word didn't mean anything. But it had to be linguistic.
His insight was that the new post-verbal media were the new linguistics, the new grammars. Is that what
Which
you're saying?
That's the OMG, there's the BFD, and we're communicating. So now, even by their definition, we're communicating.
So he
as
saw
you know what the words are.
He saw that Finnegan's Wake was an approximation of the post-verbal chaos.
Yes, and a modern linguistic representation of what he thought was your world to come, which is the completion of the tiny note chart.
Right. What do you mean by the word linguistic? How you mean words, written words?
Yes.
What's your meaning of linguistic?
Linguistic, heard communications. Heard communication. Linguistics. Heard
or they
verbal.
Come from the mouth. They come from the mouth.
Come from the mouth, yeah. Because like it's not like a smell. What do you mean with smell? Well, if a bear shits in the woods and you can't smell it, does it stink? Doesn't matter. You can't smell it. So linguistics don't imply unless they're heard.
Okay. So now we know what you meant by linguistics. So we go back to all the sentences you used the word linguistic. You're saying the tech body is not linguistic, correct?
Correct.
Right. So McLuhan pointed to the tech body world post-linguistics.
Mm-hmm. Which
and
they were using using words. They were using words, but applying knowings that didn't apply. That you're saying they misunderstood or misconstrued McLuhan's satire, which really wasn't satire. It was only satire afterwards. When he was saying it was what he was trying to say. But it was satire because they didn't get it. some of them still didn't get it. Took Thompson to figure out that he was full of shit. So what are you going to do?
It took Thompson to figure out that McLuhan was full of shit.
Right.
You mean he was the first to realize it?
No, he's the only one in the chart. He's the only one in the chart that had balls enough to say it.
Okay. But he was wrong.
Time will tell.
Thompson didn't predict the tech body.
No, didn't matter. Didn't make any difference. McLuhan didn't know what the tech body he was prescribing, and that's what Thompson was saying. His words didn't hold as good as the condition.
Did Thompson's words hold?
Well, they're ridiculous, but yeah, that's how you get the upside down. So that's real. So, okay.
Yeah, so Thompson can put the world upside down, but McLuhan couldn't and can't.
Correct. And that's exactly right. And neither one of them necessarily meant to, but Thompson was more powerful in that arena.
Right.
Well, and against McLuhan, but not against Marge. Marge could put his dick in the dirt. But
right. Now, does Coker come in talking about the Tech Party?
He's only reporting just the facts. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts.
And he's reporting the Tech Party. He's reporting the Tech Party before the world knew the Tech Party.
No. He's reporting what the Tech Party did, what the Tech Party could do, what the Tech Party was responsible for, all those dynamics that applied.
But that's before the Tech Party showed up.
Doesn't matter. That's the whole point. That's what he was saying. The Queen had some cabal that was slipping things up your bum all along. Didn't care what it was from. If you asked him, he'd say the Queen is the Tech Body. He would say the Queen is the Tech Body. So, and Peter Beter was ahead of it. He was trying to run it all and run things up your bum. Eat the babies.
Okay, listen. So you're saying Coker was the most perceptive among Thompson and McLuhan and LaRouche. He saw.
I don't know about that because he just made shit up and it just so happened to come true. If it wasn't for you, nobody would even be speaking of the son of a bitch. If it wasn't for you, he would not be acknowledged that he was ever on this planet. What did he do? Nothing. What is he responsible for? Nothing. What did he make?
He is respected in his journal, C Theory, okay? He has an audience. Okay? He's known. Maybe not now.
So did William Irvin Thompson, but he didn't do it much good.
Well, of those guys, of those four, and then you bring in me, I'm the only one who remained relevant. You have to give me that.
To now. But you have to use their deadness to validate your liveness.
Right. And so Coker, he described it. He reported it before anybody knew it was possible. So you got to give him that. But he made it up like I did in CKLN, and he was like me, correct. But he doesn't get to the hexatic. That's where I trump everybody. I trump everybody. Uh-huh. Trump everybody with that one.
Uh-huh.
So
let's
see. So Coker, you did say that Coker was the best or the most relevant, but there's a sinister tone to Coker that sidelined.
Yes. Yeah, and it would he almost had it. He almost had it, Bob. But then again, Freddie Mercury had the same problem. You just despise Queen, but he was quite the artist. Unlike Zappa, people actually listened to Freddie Mercury. So the point now, your disdain is valid and noted. You don't have to play it or listen to it, even though we have to endure your ridiculous sippity doo dah day. That's okay, because it's all right. It fucked me hard, and the watermelon hay is pretty good. So that's fine. Then you kind of lay this back into the thing of setting a notion. You got to set a notion. It could be significant, but you haven't made it significant yet. So it'll be interesting when you do. You're coming to the full conclusion of what you call the zeitgeist. No more mysteries, Bob.
Right. Do you mean the zeitgeist? That term is used by you, and it's what McLuhan meant by medium?
Medium
equals medium?
Can we say a causal medium? Would you buy that for a dollar?
Okay.
Causal,
the zeitgeist is
causal. Causal medium. Because it's not a straight medium.
Well, no, McLuhan talks about the medium being cause of all kinds of things. So, yes, that's McLuhan's meaning, causal medium. And there's four kinds of causes.
We'll go with that till it changes.
Okay. All right.
It'll be clear as mud. It'll be clear as mud tomorrow.
I was thinking, you say Thompson gets us into the I don't know. He doesn't know anything.
Yeah. I don't know.
Because
I don't know. I don't know, Bob. I don't know, Bob.
Right. So listen, this quote I played a lot. It's one of the quick ones. He talks about we are moving into the mysterious. We're going to find out the planet is mysterious. And the new mysticism will be the new mystery. You object to that because you're here to make the mystery body totally knowable and cliche.
Correct. We told you it was coming. We told you what was going to go up your bum. We told you what the problem was. We told you about the upside down. We told you that the medium was the message. What the medium meant. What the message was the medium. What the medium is the message. Okay, what's the message? We told the rest of it. So anything that undoes that, we're not having long. We'll have it for a
right.
second. We'll play with you, but not for long.
Yeah, no, Thompson wrote on reminding people they don't really know what's going on, and he was right, but he didn't know that we'd find out how to know. That's what he didn't
right.
get. Yeah.
That's right.
And
that's
right.
the rub.
Yeah. Now,
that's the rub.
I have here Larouchian antigenetics in the golden section.
The golden section would be good if it wasn't based on false premises. But the golden section would work great, but it's not quite right. We can adjust it, and we're thinking about cleaning it up. But then we don't want to make you yet another fucking religion that you have to substantiate. But the relation will be okay. We'll work. We're going to work on it, Bob.
What do you think of this definition of the golden section? It is the dynamic. What is it?
Well, it is the dynamic.
No, listen. It is the dynamic symmetry of tensions among proportions.
No. There are no tensions among proportions. Proportions are proportions. Because there might be, but there's not every single time without fail or exception.
Well, that's...
There might be looseness. There might be looseness in proportion. So what are you going to do with it then? The definition doesn't work always. How does it work ever?
What about contrast? Tensions or contrast.
Contrast can be a tightening, but the alt slack could also be contrast. How does contrast be tension?
I'm saying contrast. You're saying slack becomes tension?
No, we're saying it can't. Oh, we lost Dr. Dean.
Yeah, she's disappeared. Look, tensions are contrast. You disagree with that?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily.
Oh, okay. Well, contrast is not necessarily contrast.
Slack can be contrast. That's not tension.
Yes. Yeah. And you say there is no contrast.
Well, there might be. There might be. There might be. That's we're not arguing. We're just saying you're good except for the beginnings of your definition, which are shallow because they won't hold.
Dynamic symmetry doesn't hold. Okay.
It won't hold. It's good. Hey, it's good today. Love it today. But what about tomorrow? There's the rubs.
And the golden section came in with Euclid and the geometers who were entering the Western bias of visual space.
They were trying to prove there was a digital space to fracture. Because if you remember, they fractured it before it was over. But they had to prove there was one first.
I'm saying visual space. You said digital space?
Yes, we said digital space because they're the same. We don't have a visual space anymore. And, here's your memo. You don't either.
Right, that's where we're in the tech body. We're not in the computer world.
Correct. Very good. And you nullified that and never said a word. Brilliant.
Yeah, I did that. I did that.
You did that. We know.
So
you did.
Is the golden, for a while, the Gutenberg galaxy, is the golden section, its implied laws more powerful than genetic rules of the DNA and RNA?
There aren't genetic rules.
What are they? What are the genetics?
Suggestions.
The double helix strands? The double helix strands are suggestions?
They keep changing, yeah.
All right, so you're saying our biology is a suggestion. Our biology
is
a riddle.
Well, everything is based on. Well, it's not riddle. It is a suggestion. You made up shit, and then you're using the shit you made up to prove that they're shit.
Very good.
That's what you're doing. So that's the rub.
Well, I find
it's a croaker. It's a croaker thing, Bob. It's a croaker thing.
Yeah, quantum fluctuations. That's his phrase.
That's
quantum
right.
fluctuation.
Very.
But what I find
and we wouldn't have a problem with that. We wouldn't have a problem with that except he never continues it. He never finishes it. He never makes it something. It doesn't ever become. It's always the antiphonal argument that may be someday out there somewhere, blah, 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 blah.
Right. Now, I like the way LaRouche has the Platonic hypothesis and the higher hypothesis.
Yeah.
And the higher hypothesis. What he does, he says, don't get trapped in formulas of matter or like formulas of the golden section. There's always something new or something unforeseen happening. LaRouche, as a scientist, is correct on that point.
That's right. That's right. That's appropriate because it includes all elemental conditions. All elemental conditions. And if it'll do that, then of course it applies. It's appropriate. Good.
Is that what he calls the N plus one?
Yeah.
Right. So I have here LaRouchean anti.
Notice how we just
yes.
went. Look how we just went with that. We didn't even give you no griff or buff or nothing. We just went with it. How about that? You don't get that every day for a dollar.
No. But I'll have to check later to see if you're sincere or not. We'll check that later.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. True that.
So what? As a scientist, and he's not a guy working in a laboratory. He's a philosopher, a thinker. But that was the original meaning of science. It was wisdom. He points out that the unfathomability, he's almost pointing to the mystery landscape, saying there's a lot of stuff we don't know, and that can happen, and we shouldn't be bogging down studying old victories when we should be trying to notice the new. The way he writes and talked about it, it was exactly how we stumbled into ION, if it could be said.
Well, with or without the vitriol, that's your trouble.
Yes, yeah. You forget his emotional problems. But
Okay. As long as that's the case, then that's good. Because you bank it. And it judges it. It's a problem. It's an issue. But you just have to go with it.
Yeah, it's like he knew the mystery landscape and the unknowability of things, but he said you can chip away at it and get to know of it. It gets better and better.
Sure.
It can become acknowledged,
which is
so
huge.
It is huge, what you just said. All right. So people can go into LaRouche as a parent anti-Semitic, anti-women, anti-this. He's a screw-up, personal relationships and all that. But his words on his basic, quote, science are relevant.
Yes.
I would say, yeah.
Yes.
Not who he was.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the words that came out of his mouth. It's the words that he said.
Yeah. Well, the ones he wrote down. Which, yeah,
okay,
actually,
if you want to call that.
In a way, he's like a Finnegan Easy, right? You actually read it, he's always stumbling and screwing up his sentences.
Yeah.
So you have to intuit what he was trying to say. That's what I'd say about LaRouche. And no one else was doing that. He was pretty good at doing that.
Fair.
Yeah. Okay, so let's see. Back in the 1830s, when the skull and bones, according to Anthony Sutton's history, started in Germany, and then McLuhan talks about how German culture, German science took over America 120 years ago, and maybe Rockefeller's took advantage of that. But there is this problem. There's Germany versus America. And if you bring in William Irwin Thompson, that's Assyria versus Israel, right? America's Israel, Germany's Assyria.
Yeah.
This is a 1,000-year battle, problem, tension, enmity between Germany.
Don't bring Thomas Pynchon into this. You'll end up with a sore bum again.
Well, he came from the German information. That's how he got the Gravity's Rainbow going, because he was given that Nazi information. But anyways, so this antagonism that Herbert, not that he was, but he kind of hit targets sometimes, Assyria versus Israel is Is that Lucifer gang who hates humans? Israel is humans, the ascended new Israel, spiritual Israel, and Assyria represents those that object to humans ascending. Is there a deep?
Well, they don't understand that. Yeah, great, but they don't understand ascending. See, they still see the split between God is on his throne somewhere out there, and they're little people, and they're doomed to die because they all the debt that all men must pay. They don't recognize
the deity.
Who sees
that? You're saying they see that. Who's the they?
Humans. The humans that are listening to your words.
Yeah, they don't know what I'm referring to.
Well, they don't care what you're referring to. They don't get the construct that they are the God that's messing them up.
But some are getting it.
No, well, yeah, some, but the ones that don't, you're saying that you're making this reference that this is the way that is. No, they don't get it. They get the words, but they think, oh, that's for somebody else. Remember, we say it time and time again, the paradigm, the platitude is God is love. The vicissitude is they acknowledge that God is love, but the problem is, does God love me? There's the trouble.
So Assyria is all the people that don't feel loved.
Mm-hmm.
They don't feel comfortable about that from God.
They can't include God in their force field that they are God.
Right. So in the Emerald Tablet, they talk about the Dark Brothers up against
mm-hmm.
The hero of the Emerald Tablets. What's his name? Zeus or somebody. Forget his name. The main guy. Hermes, no, Plato, Thoth. Okay, Thoth is up against, he's spiritual Israel, and he's up against the Dark Brothers. It's all riddled through the tablets, and, you know, Thoth has to be careful about them. That's what Assyria or Nazi Germany represents,
right?
They represent the Dark Brothers, the ones who just can't get it. Not interested in getting it. So why is it focused in the country of Germany, that territory? Is there a vortex there? Why is it coming out of Germany, the nation, the geographical area? Is that a factor or not important?
Eva von Braun.
Well, she had power because she attracted Hitler. Did she make pronouncements?
The Third Reich, Bob. That's where the power. That's what the Third Reich was, the superpower, Bob. You know that. You fed that power.
Yeah. And that's the Assyria, the giant Assyria back in Israel's day, historical Israel.
And Hofstadter, and your little band of thieves. You know who we're talking about.
Oh, Hofstadter, didn't he write that book, The Golden Braid, or something? Douglas Hofstadter or something. Oh, he knows something,
Senior library, Bob. Senior library.
Okay. So,
Oh, you let that one go. Oh, you backed the fuck off of that one. Oh, okay.
Well,
yeah, we would too.
I don't think it's in the library. I used to have it, but I have it now.
What? Oh my God! You left it in Concord. Oh no!
We
have to buy another library.
Don't get me off. Okay, that's an important point here. So, I have here this phrase: rockets go back to deep structure. Thompson used the word deep structure. Rockets is the Nazis. I'm just going to make up an idea about this. Is rockets and technology an extension of Assyria and not spiritual Israel?
No. It's Moab. It's representation of Moab.
Moab is not equal to, it's not as ascended as spiritual Israel.
Correct. It'll allow Baal. It'll allow Horus. It'll allow the lesser gods a place to play. And you have a lot of those. If you're
and
very
is that
careful,
what,
you're on
that,
thin ice. You have to be very careful. You have clusters that you've got to work on that are going to set sides.
Is that what you call the subcultures you warned about America? These clusters of subcultures?
Yeah.
Right. So,
yeah.
But
they
you're
just
saying...
found the new corona that's mixing with the SARS, Bob. Sorry.
Right now, today?
Where you look. Just a few minutes ago.
Which lab? Where's the lab?
It's morphed. You'll hear all about it too soon.
They think they found out what's causing it. Or are you saying they've seen the new merger, which means more trouble? More panic?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But back
it's
to the
SARS. It's SARS and Corona, COVID-19 merged.
And it happened because of our session today?
Sorry.
you agreed. It happened because of this session, didn't it?
Sorry.
It happened because of what you revealed this session. Don't apologize.
Sorry.
Just say yes or no. Yeah.
Sorry.
You're sorry that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Moab is actually a secular idea of utopian society. Let everybody do whatever they want. Like relax
and
relax.
Oh my God! You're gonna take Moab, the country, all the way into the Croker Quadrant. Damn, Bob.
No, wait a minute.
Okay.
You're talking about Moab allowed lesser gods to run around. That's the secular idea of utopia. Everybody with their own little thing, and that is not an environment for ascension.
No,
what you're saying
it is not. That's exactly correct.
Yeah.
It'll trick you. Yeah. It'll trick you into thinking you're God. So you got a lot of these goobers running around here thinking they're God, and they're running around writing their mouths writing checks that their ass can't cash. And when you check them on it, oh, they wither away. They just fold up, go home.
Right, like RuPaul. RuPaul is a fine example of that. Maybe you know R U P A U L the TV,
yeah.
Whatever she is,
the drag queen. It's a drag queen. Yeah,
right.
No, we like
okay.
drag. We don't mind drag queens. Today's news. The only problem with drag queens is they got to figure out if they're pitching or catching. That's the only thing. They can work that out. We're good. We don't care. You got to know what's going on.
You give the utopian philosophy of Moab. You state that we don't care what you do. Be free. Do everything. But you actually have another.
Well, if
purpose.
We don't like it. I know, but if we don't like it, it doesn't change it. If we don't like dogs and cats laying together, they still do. So there's no reason to push against something that people are going to do anyway. And they're going to do it whether you like it or not, want them to or not, care about them or not. They make a difference,
okay.
So why not go with it? We just go with it because, hey, why not? It's all good.
Okay, here's the scenario. Zappa wrote an article for Life magazine in June 68. He ends it with, he's describing this Dionysiac disco scene in the late 60s, and he's saying, you, the reader, are dancing, and the music getting better and better, and you're feeling better and better and better, and you're totally into it, and then, my God, it's incredible. And then Ian says, no, then Zappa writes, and then somebody comes up to you and says, if this force that you're responding to was leading to bad situations, would you listen? Would you stop? That's what you do, Ian. You're that character that walks into the Dionysian party and asks a question. Maybe there's another way, you imply. Do you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
Zappa described
right.
what you are. You said,
right.
I can't stop you dancing, but what about this?
Right.
And you point to
right.
another place.
Yeah.
All right. So Zappa nailed it with that metaphor, that scenario.
Oh, no. Now they've canceled March Madness now, Bob. It was going to be empty without anybody in the stands. Now it's over. The Big 10, Big 12, Pac-12, and the Southeastern Conference.
And they're going to cancel more things next week because the panic is going to accelerate next week.
It is
right?
Now.
Yeah. And it's going to even keep going more. What about the college party in Fort Lauderdale? Don't they call that March
over.
Madness?
No, 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 no.
It already happened?
That's just spring. You're talking about spring break.
Yes. Is that going to be canceled?
No, because it's not scheduled. They just all show up. But nobody's going to be in school, Bob. All schools are turned out. They're closing every school. All the schools are going online only. It's over.
So they're going to be closing a lot of America down, or it will remain immune?
It's going to be called FEMA cramps, I think you said.
They're going to put people in camps? Those that are infected?
You're going to be in quarantine. You're going to be, everybody's infected. That's the whole thing. In 5 days, all of Italy was destroyed, eviscerated. And the same thing in your little New Rochelle, the same number of people are in New Rochelle or in all of Italy. And in a week later, that's going to happen to New Rochelle. They know this and they confine them. They put them in the bucket. Trump says you can't go to Europe. Trump says you can't go to Europe. And if you're from Europe, you can't come to the United States of America. He's already closed it all down. UK, you can come. But,
Is Trump panicking?
Not yet.
All right. How would you describe the dimension we are in for not on Maui? Why does it look like Maui? Or am I seeing a completely different Maui?
You're not even on Maui. You wouldn't last 5 minutes. City Island would be a blessed paradise compared to this ridiculous place you live right now. You have no idea.
Well, I am, is that a level of ascension? Did I ascend to the fifth gate?
Yeah.
So we ascended when we left in 2008, June 2008.
Well, we don't know what that means. You don't know either, so don't use that word.
You don't know what the word is.
Well, good.
I know,
that's wonderful.
But I'm experiencing it.
You know what living water is too. You experience it, but you don't know what it is either. So that's okay. Don't use words you don't know. Don't use that word.
In this fifth gate situation, in this fifth gate situation with Maui, non-Maui, are we in a realm or a dimension? Those terms.
It's a dimension. It's a dimension of a realm. Because you're in between. You're in an in-between place because we made it perfect. That's why your place is so perfect. Everything is perfect. You realize nothing can be that damn perfect, Bob. And your place is perfect. It's perfect. The perfect view, the perfect look. It's not even that nice of a part of Maui. But you have the one place that's all right to see the water, but you don't have to be like on the water with the fucking mosquito bug beating you up. You don't have all that problem. But you have the perfect sighted line of view. Where they don't build a skyscraper in front of you, so you have to look at somebody's shit.
Right.
You know, that's not normal.
Right. Very nice. And you mean the house is perfect, and the way I get to walk to the beach and everything is perfect, right?
The beach
is perfect.
The beach. Yeah. The ice cream store. Your walkway. If you took a map and drew a big old circle of the only places that you fucking go. You notice when you go other places, it's always some weirdness. Like you go to the airport, and it's kind of like, okay, we do this, and it's like, goddamn, okay, fuck, what is this? Who is this? This is this confusion. Where am I? Carolyn, why are we leaving? What is this? What are these people? What is all this? This is ridiculous. How is this supposed to work? Where do we go from here? This is terrible. Any other time, you got it all down pat, but try it one time by yourself, Bob. It won't go good. Promise.
Okay, very good. That's understood.
But you do notice that. And see, you do notice that because you're very perceptive. See, they think of you as the motley fool, but you're actually more astute than all of them put together, only because you can concretely notice the obvious.
Yes.
And everybody else assumes they know what the hell is going on. They don't have a clue.
Yes, I agree.
But this fear of lack, it's a spirit, Bob. It's a spirit.
Fear of lack, did you say? The fear of lack?
Yeah. Not slack.
It's a spirit.
Lack.
Yeah. And now,
for fear, they're afraid they're not going to have fill in the blank. They're not going to have corn liquor. They're not going to have dick or pussy. They're not going to have food. They're not going to have puffs. They're not going to have Lappert's ice cream. Oh, my God! What are we going to do?
Are you talking about people in Maui or the world, the whole world, who's feeling this fear?
mammon, the fear of lack.
Yeah, but
mammon.
who's feeling this? Everybody?
Everybody. Everybody.
Yeah, everybody.
Everybody.
Well, that's why they're afraid. Yeah, like people say, oh, my wife is terrified. You know, I don't understand why they're so terrified, but that's what they're seeing. So they know this is the end. People know.
They're coming to the place, and that's the thing. And your conditioning is very good, Bob, because you've experienced both sides of it. You recognize it, and you look at the obvious.